Now let's see how this is working. Everybody can hear me all right? Almost. Well, good morning again, church. It is really wonderful to see all of you here. I know it can be a little upsetting to see the changes that are happening in our state when it comes to this pandemic. But I trust that all of you are finding the security that you need, the strength that you need in your relationship with the Lord at this time. So, because He's got it, and He's got you. I really want to take a moment just to praise God for what He's been doing in this church in getting the men that have been able to come up here and open up the Word in such a loving, respectful, consistent way to be able to show you who God is in our lives, so you can trust in that. We've had times in the past when it would have been hard to have found one or two men to step up, but God is doing a wonderful work, and as a result, we've had a number of men who already have, and we have more to come. During this time that we'll be missing Pastor Randy, looking forward to his return, but also seeing that no church needs to depend on one man, just on one God. And as our shepherd, our good shepherd, He is making sure that men are well trained and households are well run if we listen. Now, I have to also say that it's very humbling for me to be up here today, one, after the men who have already spoken, but two, to think there was a time when I was a preschool parent. And then after a while, I was your moderator. And then after a while, I was a deacon. And to think that now I am one of your pastors, I can clearly speak to God's amazing grace. I can clearly tell you that it's something I look forward to today, to have you get to see a little bit of who I've been trusting in as we get into the 23rd Psalm. So if you would, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then let's get into the Word. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to You humbly in Jesus' mighty name, grateful for Your mercy, grateful for Your grace, mindful that all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned, everyone, to his own way. But we praise You, Father, for our redemption, our protection, the provisions and guidance to follow the one true way, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we now pray and give You thanks. Amen. I had read a story in preparing for today about two men who were given the opportunity to come and share their recitation of the 23rd Psalm, which is amazingly one of the most commonly recited, memorized pieces of Scripture that we know. What was interesting, rather than going through the whole story, is that when they were done, the first man, who was much younger and much more trained and had a beautiful speaking voice and all the things that you would want from somebody to come up and give a speech, he was that man. And it really got people going. They were just so excited. The second man was quite older, in the age where he was starting to become a little feeble and his voice was starting to crack a bit. And he got up and he did the same thing as far as reciting perfectly the 23rd Psalm. But there was a tremendous difference, and the difference was there was silence when he was done. And the reason for the silence was because people were weeping. And the first man got up and he said, you know, there is a difference, but the difference isn't in the silence, it's in what you heard. The difference is when I spoke, you heard a man who was speaking about a shepherd. But when he spoke, he spoke as a man who knew the love of a shepherd. It was kind of like when Paul and Apollos were first in their ministries. Apollos was that well-spoken orator who loved the Lord, but had a lot to learn. And in his learning, there were things missing. Paul would get up and didn't speak very well at all. But he'd learned the hardest lesson. Open his heart. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Not your understanding, not what you've read, not what you've studied. Trust God to take all of that and have it do the work he wants done. Paul got that message. You know, I'm hoping that that's something we're all going to be looking at more as we get into the 23rd Psalm today, what it is to really trust the Lord with all our hearts. Because I can tell you that I know there are times when I falter. I know there are times when I want to, but this other part of me gets in the way. And God knew that too. Never had any question. We see through the Bible, all of those who's been given the message, who'd had their opportunities to trust the Lord, who'd gone through the wilderness, and they'd seen the pillar of smoke in the day and the pillar of fire at night. And it's like, how could you not trust the Lord? It would baffle my mind to try to understand that, but they didn't. And so one of the reminders was to Joshua as he was about to go into that promised land. After they'd had all of that experience in trusting the Lord, Joshua was concerned. Going into a land where everybody's got kingdoms and everybody's got armies and everybody's trained to fight and they're doing their fighting all the time. And we've got a bunch of shepherds going in. How are we going to do this? God told him in Joshua 1, verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. How often do we hear the words, love the words, and forget the words? We just don't really take them in. You know, later, they found themselves doing the same thing. And as a result, the kingdoms had been separated and the people had been under somebody else's rule yet again. They'd lost all of the blessings that God had brought them. But they hadn't lost God. So Jeremiah is praying to the Lord, and the Lord tells him, this is the message for the people. He said, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. We're back to that again, seeking him with all our hearts. All our hearts. You know, when David wrote this Psalm 23, David experienced what it was like to be alone. David experienced what it was like to be thought little of as the smallest of all his brothers, the one sort of shucked off to do what nobody else wanted to do, probably those late nights watching the sheep. David knew And David knew, in the midst of everything he found so difficult to deal with in his loneliness, that he wasn't alone. David knew because he saw how often only God could have given him the ability to do the things that he did. How do you fight a lion when you're a kid? How do you fight off a bear or robbers? How do you do that as a kid? You only do that if your trust is in the Lord, not in yourself. If you focus on yourself, you see a ton of reasons why you can't do it. If you focus on God, you're not even imagining any reason why you can't do it. And praise God for how he was there for David all the time. Excuse me. God never failed David. David came to know God in a way that to anybody else, if he had told them that the Lord is my shepherd, that would have sounded like blasphemy. He's like, what? The God of all creation? The Lord God Almighty? We can't even imagine God. I mean, in those days, their thinking about God was, and this was actually written later by Solomon as an expression of those days, but in 2 Chronicles 2:6, he says, but who is able to build him a house? Since heaven, even highest heaven, cannot contain him. Who am I to build a house for him, except as a place to make offerings before him? That was God. God was just too immense, too all. The beginning and the end didn't even say enough because there was beyond that. And David brings him to a relationship with himself as my shepherd. Praise God that he did that. Because when he did that, it gave others the opportunity to see that God wants a relatable relationship with each of us. That's exactly what he's looking for. He's trying to help you break your resistance to accepting that he's your creator. He loves you. When you think of the love that a father or a mother has for a child, and the God's is beyond that, he loves you. And so this image of the good shepherd, this image of the Lord is my shepherd, is what he wants you to consider. And I hope you do, but it's possible that you may have a hard time thinking of yourself as a sheep. So let me give you an idea of what a sheep is. A sheep is somebody who forgets where they are, forgets where they've been, and doesn't have any idea where they're going, and pretty much just keeps getting in trouble. Yeah, it sounded like me, but you see, it's interesting. Sheep are all that confusion and chaos, but they don't forget how to cry out for help. In their own world, do their own thing, things get messed up, and they cry out for help. Who are they crying to? Amazing how they don't forget the sound of their shepherd's voice. Whatever you know about sheep, that's there. So if that sounds like you, please give some thought to what it is to be one of Christ's sheep, so that you can get past the confusion of your life that doesn't know where you're going, doesn't know where you've been, doesn't know what's... The doesn't know changes if you know your shepherd, if you know who you can trust. So since we've all gone astray, John 10, when you get a chance to look through John 10, and we read some of John 10 earlier, they know their shepherd. They know his voice. Wow. See, there are some things that if they remind themselves, they're not alone. There's no reason to be scared because they hear him calling and he knows them by their names. I mean, it's a little hard for me to understand that God knows every hair on our head. He knows us that well. But in his love, it's not hard to understand that, or that he knows our name. He calls us by name. The sheep love him. That's what it is to be in the flock of Jesus Christ. We love our shepherd. The sheep trust him. The sheep follow him. All of that is what you see and what Jesus was telling us in that 10th chapter of John. That is what it looks like to be in Christ's flock, to be a Christian. Sheep aren't naturally like that, but they are. We aren't naturally like that, but we are. We are when we listen. We are when we follow. We are when we recognize that the thing that we call out for, when we cry out for help, is we know God's there. I didn't think I was going to go here, but I can tell you that even in a combat situation where people talk about how people cry out for their dad or their mom, only their mom, people cry out for God. People who don't know God cry out for God. I believe that all of us are aware that what's missing is my relationship with God. God's not missing from me. I'm missing what I could have if I just let him in. And we cry out, Abba, Father, help me. We read today, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. Fear those, for those who fear him have no lack. Young lions suffer want and hunger. But those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. We say it. We read it. How hard it is if you don't start looking at your life, if I don't recognize what has happened in my life that has only happened by the grace of God. I didn't happen to mention, but when I was that preschool parent, I was waiting for our son to get through with Sunday school because then I'd come and get him and bring him into church. And when I was waiting, I'm reading a spy novel in the parking lot. Also known as I was a lost sheep. I had no idea of what value God had in store for me. Praise God for the changes that God can make when we make ourselves available, when we begin to realize there's something there. There's something in his voice that I'm missing in my life. Help me, Lord, to listen better. You know, I'm about ready to start putting the papers aside. I apologize. When you get the chance, to really walk with the Lord and know that He's overseeing everything that's happening. When you get a chance to take your eyes off your difficulties and recognize where your solutions have always been. When you take the time to consider that any good that's come to your life was about something more than you, you start to realize that, yes, God does have a plan. And you're part of the plan, and even in your rebellion, God eagerly waits for your return. My hope is that's what we're going to see as we look at exactly what God is telling us in His Word today. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When He makes us lie down in green pastures, thank you, shepherd, for knowing that I needed the green pastures. So we think of that as being this opportunity that God will always give us to be able to have what it is that we need, even when we're forgetting that we need it. He takes care of us by taking us to green pastures. We wouldn't have known how to find the green pastures without the good shepherd. It's far more than that. That's the piece that the people in David's day could understand, how the Lord would provide. Jehovah Jireh was there to provide for you at all times. Because it's true. I mean, He would. They saw it in the wilderness as He provided the manna, as He provided other food and water. When it was true, and it's true today, but it's beyond that. It's deeper, it's more meaningful than that, that if we continue to see everything through what I can touch, what I can embrace physically, we miss the relationship that God wants to have with us, because it's deeper than that. If you think of relationships that you have with other people, meaningful, important relationships, those relationships are based on more than what you can touch, what you can see. Think of somebody you really dislike. I'm going to go to the worst place possible. Think of somebody you really dislike. They're probably not here right now, I hope. And given that they're not here, I don't think you have a problem understanding the relationship. I truly believe that you can imagine the intensity of that relationship, and I truly hope that you will get to the place of forgiving that person for whatever it is that's so intense, but recognize that it's still a relationship. It's not based on seeing and touching. Let's go to the better. Let's go to the people that you love, the people that are near and dear to you. That's even sweeter, obviously, than the other. That's something that is so critically valuable to you that you might not even be near that person right now. And it's just a wonderful thing to be in a relationship with them. You might not even have spoken to that person in a while, and it doesn't change how precious that relationship is. That's beyond the physical. We are in it every day, but somehow our minds keep bringing ourselves back to what has to be experienced physically. Well, I want you to see that your relationship with God is kind of the opposite of what we see in the rest of the world. That there is so much more happening in the emotional. There is so much more happening in our souls. There is so much more happening in the spiritual that it's what brings value to the physical. It's not the other way around. But as a result, we have a tendency to make light of that emotional, that connection that we have, and we don't spend the time. God has given us the way. He's taken us to green pastures. The green pastures that he's taken us to are the very words that we're reading. The green pastures are scripture. The green pastures are the opportunity that you have to chew on his word. They're never going to be gone. The green pastures give you this opportunity to be able to grow from what he's feeding you through the living word. That's the relationship that he wants to have. And the more time we spend in that green pasture, the healthier we become. The more time we spend in that green pasture, the more often we get to see all of the ways God is blessing us. We take nothing for granted. And you got to know that we take plenty for granted. And as blessed as we are here on Maui, we probably take more for granted than most people in the world. Praise God for all that we have. Clean air to breathe. Beautiful climate to walk around in. All of the things, I can start rattling them off and you can go, well, I know those things. But how often do we praise God for them? Green pastures of his word, the time that we spend staying in them, understanding that we can lie down, we can get refreshed and just feel so much better feeding on his word than anything else there is. As we see that coming true, our relationship grows stronger with God. That's the relationship that he wants, so that then when he talks to us about those still waters, we recognize that, wow, there is so many things that I've missed because I don't even think about the fact that he's taking me beside the still waters, because as I go where I go, the Holy Spirit goes with me. As I go where I go, he's the one that's giving me the refreshing, reinvigorating presence that I need. Still waters. God's Spirit. Do we acknowledge this as much as we need to? God is saying, please do. Listen. That's the relationship that I want with you. The way in which God answers our prayers, hears our prayers because of how the Holy Spirit makes them clear even when we're not clear. I can tell you that where my head goes too often, I'm in prayer at times, and those words aren't coming like I'd like them to, but my heart hasn't stopped. My heart aches for whoever I'm praying for, and I know that that is clearly heard by God because of God the Holy Spirit. Nobody else might understand. You know, and I want you to consider the times when you have been in prayer and had those struggles. And I pray that you relax. I pray that you be still and know that he's God, and he's not going to miss what it is you want to be heard. Because as that relationship grows stronger, which is what your prayer life is about, then that relationship is what you're experiencing should you come for a prayer night here and you get the opportunity to pray. It's not about how is your prayer heard by others. It's, Lord, I know you hear my prayer. It changes the way you pray. It changes the focus of how we are together when we recognize that this is about God first. And there's so much, the prayers are one. I just think of all the times that people don't want to sing and sing his praises because they're afraid of how they sound. You know that God knows how you sound. That's a sweet sound to God when you just let it out. If you're worried it might hurt somebody else's ears, just do it softly, but let it out. That's the relationship that God wants you to have, trusting Him. There are so many ways in which we find ourselves not trusting that we have to recognize we are bringing far too many valleys of the shadow of death into our lives. We can, as sheep, start to imagine things that don't have to be. Like, what will people think? Our thinking we're not good enough, we can't do well enough based on other people. That's not the way God sees you if you are someone who is listening to God. If you are someone who has spent your time in the green pasture, develop the relationship of trusting God. If that is you, you don't need to worry about how you look. He's taking care of that. So that valley of the shadow of death, those things come up all the time for us. Those difficult times, whether it be an illness, an injury, job failures, downsizing. There's different things that can come up that just seem so frightening, so overwhelming to us. It's important that we recognize that shadow of death as the shadow that it is. That shadow is not going to hurt you. If it's a serpent, if it's the shadow of a sting doesn't hurt. If it's a sword, the shadow of a sword can't hurt you. It's like shadows don't hurt you. It's what we fear that causes the anxiety that's really hurting us. And it's a valley. I'm sorry, this is the valley aisle, isn't it? I mean, the valley can be beautiful. All we see is the not beautiful. Most valleys produce fruit of some kind, and this valley probably has fruit as well. But we fail to see, and the worst thing we fear, which is death, we fail to recognize that death itself bears a fruit. From ending this life, we go into the everlasting with God. It's like, wow, that's beautiful. But our fears get in again. Our lack of trust gets in again. So, valley of the shadow of death, walk through it. It's going to come to an end. His rod and his staff are what's comforting you as you go through it. They are the thing that is taking care of the things you fear if you are feeding on his word, if you are getting a relationship that trusts in God. Without him, those valleys can become devastating. And you can find yourself too afraid to go anywhere. It's not God's intention for you. That's not the relationship that God has for you. So as you find yourself in those situations crying out, as we do, remember he hears. Remember the rod and the staff. They're still there. He'll pull you out with his staff from where you're stuck, and he will guide you along to get out. And that's where you find yourself realizing as time passes, wow, it did end. Things are different. God doesn't want you going through that anxiety. He wants you to see his plan is better. Those valleys will come and go. He never will leave. So God's flock is always going to be fed at his table. The table's always going to be prepared. Your enemies, whatever you've been fearing, they're not going to be there. If they are, they're just looking on. You have nothing to worry about if you have acknowledged God as your shepherd. You know, I've read a number of Psalms, and many of them I find tell you all you need to know in the very first verse. And you realize, why did he say all the rest of it? We need pictures painted for us. Green pastures, still waters, rod, staff, table, enemy, anointing my head. We need to see all of those things in some way that starts to make sense to us. The most important thing that God told us through this psalm is the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There is absolutely no varying from that. That is everything he tells us through all of Scripture. Trusting in him, you shall not want. He's your refuge and strength. You have nothing to worry about. Our worrying is our choice. Our difficulties come from our choices. Any difficulties that come into our lives because of what's around us, were you to say at this moment, and Annie Dottie, you know that we're with you. We love you. I believe she never stops trusting as we speak right now in her shepherd who's always caring for her, always watching over her. Others will think that's foolishness. Others will think, where's your God now? How come your God let this happen? Some shepherd. Ignorance has no knowledge of what it is to have a relationship with an all-loving God. Faith is something that those who are ignorant just can't grasp. So all they can do is try to fight the thing they don't understand. It's the whole reason why we are upset with changes, is I don't understand. So we fight these things. Fighting that unknown of God is to our loss. So praise God for the faith that he gives us to believe. Praise God for the grace that he gives us to have the salvation that we have. Praise God for the things that we have that we couldn't have without him. And then let's not ignore them. Let's continue to grow in those blessings that he has brought into our hearts. Because those who are lost and dying have no understanding. You become the greatest opportunity they have to know Christ. You, as God's sheep, can help them to see the care that you receive every day. I think of the heartbreak, the confusions, the lost feeling that so many people have today. And I just pray that somebody here is reaching out to them. Somebody here is helping them to see who their God is, how real their God is, all the things that they have seen him do in their life, some that they may have missed, but none that they don't acknowledge today. Because that lost and dying world is just growing in pain. And it's not necessary. And I think that's our job, to grow stronger as his flock and his people. That's our job, as we've seen the men who have stepped up here, to be able to preach his word. That's our job, to be able to get up and tell others what God is doing. So, please consider, if you're wondering today, how can I, Lord, trust you? Please consider that God has given us the answer. There is nobody who's doubted that hasn't seen the answer to be true, and that is his son, Jesus Christ. There is no one who has mocked our faith that doesn't acknowledge his existence. And there is no one who doesn't know that Christ died for sinners. Knowing that and believing that can be very different. So I would ask you to listen to God's words himself when he said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order to save it." He just wanted us to be saved through him. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. It's a sad reality that many times we can come up to a person on the street or to a bunch of people in a church, and we can share who God is in our lives, what God says about his desires for others. And one of the reasons in which that message can be missed can be because how we deliver the message. That's a reality. It's a sad reality. What I would want you to consider as you have those opportunities, what I would want you to consider today as you hear God's word spoken today, that's what I would ask you to consider more importantly. So that it doesn't stumble you when you want to share with somebody else, wondering, how will I share? How will it be received? So it doesn't stumble you when you come to a church service and don't get what you expected. I would ask you, consider, what did God have to say? That's the message. There are many who do that well, but there are all of us who need to do it. So please give thought to God's promise. Hang on to that promise, that the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. Now let's go to him now and close in prayer. Father, thank you for watching over this flock here at KBC. I do pray, Lord, that it's your words that are remembered, that your voice is heard, and that you help your people to trust in you alone as they follow. For it's in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior's name, that we pray. Amen. Should you have any question today about where you are as one of many sheep in the world? I'll be in the room over here. I'd be happy to talk to you about it. I'd be happy to be able to pray for you about any concerns you may have. I ask you to please be available for others at the end of service to be able to have that time that God's providing for fellowship, that time to be able to reflect on things that you heard and what that means in your life as you stay the course that God has for you. So thank you very much. God bless you all. Aloha.